You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit again, and it's great to enjoy some of this beautiful sunsets we're seeing at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're seeing a lot of, I don't know whether that's got to do with the fires we're getting, but we're getting a lot of that nice red out there in the evening in Sepi. One of the good things about our property, it just complete. We just come out the front door. I said to Sepi, isn't this amazing? Just open that front door, and bam, it's all there. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And we're seeing all kinds of birds coming in. I said to Seppi, man, look at those birds on the trees. They're just, every single tree is packed with these red-winged blackbirds. You know the ones I'm talking about? And they're making all sorts of noises and so on and trying to clean out all our seed, which they seem to be good at. So hopefully we'll see some more birds coming. I'm looking forward to the hummingbirds coming a little bit later on. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for today and for all that Thou hast given us, and that as we open the Scriptures, You'd bless us and help our minds to understand the deeper things of Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, right. Well, here we are. We're in the book of Proverbs, and it's been a blessing. You know, one of the great things about Proverbs is that there are some unexpected gems that come your way, and there's also a reinforcement of basic ideas that the scribes and the prophets and those who had wisdom either directly imparted or as a part of their nature as human beings that are brought up and built upon, for example, in the book of Romans. I was interested in this passage, just while we're talking about that, just look at Proverbs and chapter 30, just to show you that there are some quite amazing things that get you to think about the Lord Jesus directly. This is chapter 30, verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukul, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath ascended up into heaven? These are questions. Or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Now, this obviously is a question that you would answer with God. Right? The answer to that is God. But the first portion here, it makes you think, well, who would that be? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? This is the language of Genesis, the creation. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? Again, clearly God. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Isn't this a remarkable series of questions that come with an answer? It is God, Jehovah, and his son's name is Yeshua, Jesus. Right? Isn't it? It's just remarkable that it's here, right? It's in the book of Proverbs. And when we come back through the book of Proverbs, we see allusions to the necessity of the coming of the Messiah. Well, last time we were looking at some of these great things from Proverbs, we took a quick dive into wine. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And there's a lot in here about wine and how the end of it can be with great destruction. We have to be wise about how we use it and look at our own selves, our own weaknesses and so on. Personally, I think this particular generation has got too much emphasis on drink. And the end of it is not good in many cases. I can remember one time this is earlier on, I don't know when this was actually, but earlier on after we came to the country, and there wasn't too much drink in some of the stores. I'm thinking of Walmart. And then I noticed there were people going out canvassing people. And they were asking, what do you think about the idea of bringing drink into Walmart? And they were canvassing this. And then later on, it happened, right? And where we would see mainly sort of water and, you know, flavored water and so on, big aisles of this kind of stuff, that was made smaller for room for drink, right? Basically wine and strong good drink. And so it's more and more, right? It's more and more a part of the community. The end, though, can be pretty bad. And we have to be careful with this. Now, just coming over here, we're talking about the mouth and this rash promises and this trap that many people get themselves into. And this other verse that I wanted to mention here, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What an amazing verse. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The belly is many times used in the scriptures because it's there where digestion is taking place and therefore metaphorically where the thinking is going on as well, sort of things that have to do with going over stuff and searching all the inward parts, the details. And that's the spirit of man. And at death, the spirit leaves the body, right? What happens at death? Well, James talks about this, right? The spirit goes, and then, therefore, that is the evidence of death. The spirit of man is so important, and God uses it. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Proverbs 21. Let's have a look at this. And in the first verse, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He turneth it. So this is where you come to kind of a place where there's a turning of the water. What causes the turning of the water? Now, in this case here, where it's talking about the king, the king many times is directly influenced by God. It doesn't say that it's always this way, that in every single instance of a king that makes a decision, in every single instance, God is reaching down and making certain changes and working directly through the king. But it does happen, and there's good instances in the Bible where you find this happening. And the other thing I wanted to point out about this is that this particular verse here is really closing off the last verses of the previous chapter. So that you get, see here, personal conduct. Personal conduct ends with 21:1, and then a new portion begins of the structure which has to do with personal character. So the conduct ends with what the king does. And in many cases, the king is being used of God in a very special way. And the king, therefore, must ponder these things. And that's why the book of Proverbs is so important for people who are in places of leadership. So it goes on here, it says this in verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Gulp. This is a warning, isn't it? This is a warning that many times we think we're okay. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. And I've got up here what this ponder is here. Ponder, weigh, or test. To me, it's a fascinating verse. Why? Because it's saying the Lord weighs and tests the heart. You may think that your ways are okay. You may think that what you're doing is all right. And you'll go ahead and you'll do it. God is interested in what you're doing and how things are working in your heart. Again, you notice that this metaphor of organs of your body are used. We just take it for granted. And we even use it today, even in our so-called modern society. We use the metaphor of the heart quite often. Right? We use this for the seat of the emotions. And the Lord is weighing these things and testing them. And it says this in verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Stop. Now you just think how huge that statement is. And you'll find it repeated in other places in the scriptures, like in Hosea 6. You'll find it mentioned in the book of Matthew by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when you think about this, that this whole idea of judgment and justice and mercy, these ideas that go together, are more important than sacrifice. How does that make sense? Why, we have a whole tribe, the tribe of Levi, whose function it was in part to be involved with administration of a great sacrificial system. And right here we've got to do justice. And judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And he's not saying that sacrifice is not acceptable. It's just more acceptable. How is that the case? Take the example, say, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who gave himself a sacrifice for us all. Look at his life. The sacrifice really began in practice. He gave a sacrificial life. His life was sacrificial. The sacrifice that he gave on the cross was as a direct result of his judgment and his mercy and everything that he gave in terms of his life. And this was taken by those in authority as meaning, we don't want this man to rule over us. And he ended up on the cross at Calvary, giving his life a sacrifice for us all. And in that work that he did, there is mercy and there is redemption. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, this idea is not going to be let go. It won't be left alone. It's too important, right? It's way too important to be left alone. Look what it says in verse 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Is sin. And you might say, yeah, okay. We could guess that. But wait a minute. Look over here. This is the word for sin. And in the context, it's the sin offering. You see? For those who rebel against this justice, what do they do? Well, they have a high look. They have a proud heart. And what about the plowing? Well, the plowing is doing something. The plowing is hard work, right? It's working. And what is that? That's their sin offering. You see? That is sin. That's their sin offering. You see, they would look for the true use of the sacrifice if they had first seen their own need, right? And then they could work a work pleasing to God, and they would see the sacrifice for what it's meant to be, rather than making up their own life as the sin offering. This proud look. Don't you think that's tremendous? When I read through this, I thought, wow, that's amazing. Do not read the Proverbs thinking that it's something small. It's not. It dives. If all you get is something obvious, you're probably missing something along the way. And it says this, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Yeah, the diligent, the ones that are just looking to get something. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Yeah, that's if all you're going to do is live your life that way, you're always going to want more and more and more. I can remember an amazing interview I heard when I was only a small kid, so I can't remember the name of the people involved. But as a little kid, I remember seeing this. It was on a black and white TV. Now, you Americans, you had color TV when the rest of the world was just looking at these little boxes with black and white. Right? I mean, America was amazing in those days. America was where everything was happening. All of the technology, everything. And the rest of the world was miles. It's not that way anymore. But it used to be, man. The rest of the world was way over there, man. And I remember as a little kid looking at this interview. And the interviewer said to this very wealthy person, well, how much more do you want? He's got all the stuff, man. And he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You know? That's the way of the heart. That's the way of the nature of man. Verse 6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And they may not know that they're seeking death, but that's what ends up being the case. A lying tongue is a vanity. Yeah, that's it. You're trying to get these treasures through a lying tongue, and what you're doing is you're ending up seeking death. You know, see how bad liars are in the sight of God. It's a tremendous thing. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. That's right. Do judgment. Again, it's the same theme that we're looking at here, right? It's more important to God that we have justice and judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It's upright. It's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. There's nowhere to hide, right? And we all know what's going on. And you know, Seppi and I were talking about women and men, you know, in the Bible. And if you go right to the end of Proverbs, there you get the so-called proverbial woman. But don't forget that Lady Kokhma started the whole thing off, right? There is a good lady wisdom right through the whole thing. And here we relate to something about the nature of some women, which could drive you crazy, man. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Again, this is a theme, isn't it? We've seen this over and over again. That the wise, the way that the wise accept instruction is very different to the way that a churlish or a fool would accept it, or the simple. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Yeah, we consider it. But God does something. The wise will consider and learn. Yes, but something here is quite interesting. God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. God is active, and there is judgment with God. There is. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Look at that. Isn't that a most amazing verse? Whoso stoppeth his ears, you're not going to listen to this, you're not going to hear it, at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Ooh, there's some sort of symmetry going on here, man, and it's pretty sobering symmetry, don't you think? There is a very sad example of this, of some churches in Germany during the Nazi era. And the churches were right next to the railway lines. This is true. It's been documented and it's a true thing. And that the church would be singing hymns like many churches do. And then they would hear the sound of the bells ringing and the along comes a train filled up with prisoners and all kinds of different people. And so the instruction would be, sing louder. You know, sing louder, man. You don't want to hear all the crying of people as they go past the church. And it says this, who stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also should cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Gift in secret pacifieth anger, and reward in the bosom strong wrath. Yeah, that's what happens. It'll pacify it. And we know this is true. And the way in which you can give a gift, well, there's lots of avenues for how you can give gift. The gift might be time. It doesn't have to be something physical. It could be something time-wise or tension, some sort of emotional gift that you're going to give someone. It's joy to the just to do judgment. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Justice is coming, my friends. It is coming. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Boy, isn't this a sobering idea? He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now, you have to ask yourself, how does this actually work? When we see so many examples that seem to contradict this, at least in our life, right? I think you have to see that as far as God is concerned, this life of ours is just a twinkling of an eye. It's just a vapor of smoke. It's just a precursor. And that God's judgment is coming. You're going to have to be resurrected and stand before God, my friends. Right? It's going to happen. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the transgressor for the upright. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Here we got back to the woman in the White House. Has anything truly changed? I don't think so. The nature of man, the nature of women, the nature of children, no. Basically, nothing has changed. You know, I read and I translated and read this wonderful writing by a Greek author called Aristophanes. And Aristophanes wrote this thing called The Clouds. And it's a satire against Socrates. Because he's always up there in the clouds, you know. And if you read it, you can read it in translation. And if you, especially if you know something about Socrates, you're going to laugh. It's got humor in it, which we can understand today. It was written so many years ago, before Christ. And yet, it's got humor we relate to. Same here, my friends. It's the same stuff because we are tithed with the same brush. There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. That's right. That's how things happen. People use stuff up without any thought. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. You see, that goes back again to what we read at the beginning about how God, what he wants is this justice and judgment over sacrifice. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Again, recurring theme about the mouth. Recurring theme about speaking too quick. Consider, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbial stuff here about being lazy. God does not like lazy people. Yeah? He doesn't like people just being slothful. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Notice what the righteous do. They giveth, spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. Back to sacrifice, back to the same things we started with. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind. Man, isn't this powerful stuff? You can say, I've got my religion, you've got yours, and everything's okay. No, no, it's not okay. God has provided a way of escape. He has made purpose for us, designed purpose for us. What is his name and what is his son's name? We know the answer to this. So don't tell me you've got your religion and I've got mine, etc., etc. No, there is the truth. There is the truth. And he is Jesus. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Look at the upright. He gives direction. That's what we need, isn't it? I know it's really hard. I find myself in positions sometimes and I want to say something here. But if I say something here, there's going to be consequences. And you've got to be able to say the right thing in the right circumstances. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Now, we're talking about the need for counsel. We've been talking about wisdom. But there's no wisdom or counsel that can truly stand against God. He is right. His actions come from the fact that he is righteous. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You can think about this, that there are things that you can go to war with, man. But here, safety is with the Lord. And you might say, yeah, but you might die in that chariot. You might die in that tank. Or you might die in that plane. Yeah, but you've got life in Christ, right? And resurrection is yours through Jesus. Safety is with the Lord. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this book of Proverbs chapter 21, Lord, that we've just finished reading. We thank thee for all the jewels that are in there. May we ponder these things and see the deeper things of God and apply them to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.